Okay, so welcome again to Torah and Tea. Today, of course, is the portion of Devarim. And as usually, we base it on the Sichas of the week, which is this week in value 29, 1 and 2 Devarim. Now, as you know, the portion of Devarim is always read before Tisha B'Av, the portion of Devarim. And we'll talk a little bit about that and the connection a little bit to the Parsha. But first I want to talk a little bit more about the second talk, a very interesting this discussion about, you know, we talk about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash during the 3 weeks, especially the 9 days, and we're getting closer to Tisha B'Av. And so as we get closer, there's more, a bigger sense of loss and mourning. But one thing we have to always remember, as we see in the Rebbe's letters that we learn in the morning also, that the Rebbe keeps on saying that we're not mourning to make us depressed or to make us feel down or to make us hopeless. When we mourn the destruction of the temple, it's actually to get us and motivate us to try to rebuild the temple, to try to do something to bring back for us so that we have the Beis HaMikdash again. That's really the purpose of learning about it. And the Rebbe emphasized it, you know, in the letters we're reading way back in the beginning of when the Rebbe became Rebbe, and the Rebbe later on encouraged people to do things, to study about the Beis HaMikdash, to make a siyum, to conclude a tractate, to do things that will hasten and bring us the building of Mashiach. But today there is a fascinating talk that the Rebbe in the Sicha today, which the Rebbe asks seemingly a very powerful question. You know, sometimes because it's so simple and so obvious, the question, people don't ask it. It's so in your face kind of a question. And yet the answer is also explained so brilliantly by the Rebbe. So what is the question? So generally we know that what Hashem asks us to do, He does Himself. You know, sometimes they say, do as I say, but you have to, better is do as I do, don't do as I say. Do as I say basically means I'm just telling you what to do, but myself I'm not doing it. Hashem, when He tells us to do something, Hashem does it also. So if Hashem gives us a mitzvah and tells us do this or don't do this, Hashem keeps that too. Okay, so what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about a mitzvah. There is something which is known in the Hebrew, I'm not sure, it's called Bal Tashchis. Bal Tashchis means you're not allowed to waste. You're not allowed to. You've heard, you're familiar with that?
Yeah, environmental.
Huh?
It could be environmental, but I know it's a Jewish concept and I'd love to hear more about it.
Bal Tashchis basically means one is not allowed to destroy anything in this world. Destruction is prohibited. So if a person will take something and just break it or get rid of it or just waste it, he violates a prohibition of Bal Tashchis. Tashchis means not to destroy. Now, this is said about anything. You can't take a functioning thing, you can't take an item, you can't take something which of value, you can't just destroy it, you can't rip it up, you can't break it, you're not allowed to do that. And that's talking about any item. Now, what about breaking something which is in a shul? Taking a chair and breaking it. Not allowed to. Making a hole in the wall, destroying, disrupting, that's an additional prohibition. Like the Torah says that when the Jews came to Israel and that place was full of idols, the Torah says you got to break up all those idols. And the Torah right away comes back and says, but don't do that to Hashem. Don't do that to a holy place. While you should break up the idols, the places that they worship, but don't do that to a shul, to a school, to a place where they learn Torah. So you got two prohibitions. One, you got a prohibition generally against wasting. Are you allowed to take a structure, a useful structure, and just burn it down, just like that? No. On top of that, you're not allowed to take a shul, something which is holy. Of course you're not allowed to do anything to it. That would be a double prohibition. One's for wasting and then for destruction of a shul. It's called Bal Tashchis. Especially destroying something of the Beis HaMikdash, even a shul. Yes? The idols weren't at the time in the Beis HaMikdash. They were on the mountains and they were in other places. The Jews were commanded to get rid of them, to destroy them. And at the same time, the Torah says, don't do that to God, your God. So from that we learn that you can't destroy anything of the Beis HaMikdash, anything Jewish. So the question here becomes, how is Hashem allowed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? How was Hashem allowed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash was a functioning synagogue, a functioning sanctuary. It was a place which was used, and God just burnt it down. No, of course, the enemy burned it down, but Hashem allowed for it to be destroyed. Now, yes, it is true that the Jewish people were not deserving anymore because of the sins and because of the different things that they've done. They didn't deserve the Beis HaMikdash anymore, and Hashem didn't want them to have the Beis HaMikdash. But that's also not a reason why Hashem should destroy it. We find, for example, that certain parts of the Beis HaMikdash were buried in the ground. Why did Hashem destroy the Beis HaMikdash? There's interesting. This is from the Talmud. One of the chapters of the Tehillim begins with Mizmor LaAsof, a song sang by Asof. And he talks about Bo Goyim Benachalosecho. He talks about the nations entered into your inheritance. They burned down the Beis HaMikdash. Talks about the destruction in that chapter. The Gemara, the Talmud asked the question, why is it a song? Why does it say Mizmer LaAsof? Why is this a song? That's a tragedy, not a song. Why are we saying Mizmer LaAsof Elokim Bo Goyim Benachlasecha, that when we're talking about the destruction, we're saying a song? This isn't a song. This is a tragedy. So why does it say Mizmar? And the Gemara answers that this was actually a tremendous benefit for the Jewish people. Hashem was very upset with the Jewish people for straying and not following the Torah. So what happens when a king gets angry? Somebody gets very angry. So he has one of two choices. Either he can destroy the people, or he can destroy the structure. So Asaf sang, says the Gemara, he says, thank you Hashem for putting your anger out on the wood, on the stone, on the structure. But you protected the Jewish people. You didn't, in your anger, you did not destroy the people. All what you destroyed was wood and stone, the structure, the Beis HaMikdash. He says, I'm singing. Thank you, Hashem, for not letting out your anger against the Jewish people. So that's a song. Sometimes, when you destroy something, that destruction is for a purpose, for a better purpose. If the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was for the purpose to save the Yidden, so Hashem doesn't destroy them, so that's not called destruction in vain. That's not called just destruction. It's destruction that has a good reason to protect the Yidden from their situation. Hashem, therefore, thank you, Hashem. So it's not just destruction. That answers why it's not destruction, because this is really to benefit. But it doesn't answer the other question. But still, when is destruction permitted? And here the Rebbe comes up with a tremendous, tremendous insight. When is destruction permitted in the Beis HaMikdash? It is only for that itself, not for another purpose. So the part where destruction, I will explain. You know, on Shabbos, we can't do malachas. We're not allowed to do work on Shabbos. There's 39 malachas. But you're only guilty of malachas if you do work that has a benefit. So let's say, for example, if you do work that is not a benefit, but it's destruction, if you're destroying, then that's not a violation. On Shabbos, only if you build something. However, so let's say, you know, I'm sure sometimes on Shabbos you come across this. Let's say you want to take something, you want to rip something up. Let's say you want to rip on Shabbos, you're going to rip something. That's not a violation because you're destruction. Destruction, I mean, I guess, you know, we shouldn't do that anyways, but, you know, but in Hebrew the term is mekalkel. Ruining something. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to fix anything. You're cooking food, you're fixing the food. You're building something, you're doing something positive. But if you're destroying, that's not called work, that's called destruction. On Shabbos, you're not be violating. However, what happens, let's say I want to build something. So you have an old dilapidated on your lot. You have an old dilapidated structure, which became useless, or it's not safe, or you don't have a use for it, and you want to rebuild and you want to make something beautiful, but you don't have the space. So what you have to do first is, you have to break down the structure that is there at the moment. And then once you free up the space, on the place you built a beautiful Taj Mahal. You'll make something beautiful. But you can't build that building if you have that old broken down building. So, what is the status? On Shabbos, I will go and break down the old building. That breaking down the building, is that called ruining? In other words, on Shabbos, if I did it, I'm not responsible, I ruined, I didn't do anything. Or we're going to say, well, this is not really ruining. Because while you're actually breaking down, but that is actually part of the building. Because in order for you to build, you have to make room for the new building. This is just like you have to build and create and prepare the foundation and everything else. Part of the structure, part of the building is to remove the old building, which is in the way of the new building. So if one should break down a structure to make room for another structure, then that's not called mekalkel, it's not called ruining. That's actually called building. It's very interesting that the Medrash says, the Medrash calls it a lion. He called Nebuchadnezzar, the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, calls him a lion. And the month of Av is actually, it has the constellation, it's Leo. It's a lion. The structure of the temple is called a lion too. So, it's basically, the Midrash says, the lion, Nebuchadnezzar, in the month of the lion, in the month of Leo, came and destroyed the lion, the Beis HaMikdash. But the Midrash adds, so that the lion will come. Who is the lion? Hashem is also called a lion. And in the month of Leo, which is the month of Av, come back and build that lion, build the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash uses the same metaphor, the lion for the destruction and the lion for the building. The Medrash is trying to say to you that this is really the destruction and the rebuilding are really one continuous act. The Rebbe brings down so beautifully, you know, the Beis HaMikdash that we had, the second Beis HaMikdash and the first Beis HaMikdash, they were man-made. And because they were man-made, they were temporary. They only stood for a certain amount of years. But the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, the third Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be made by Hashem. And it's going to be lasting. It's going to be for always. The Rebbe says, in order for Hashem to bring us the third Beis HaMikdash, He has to make room for it. He's destroying the second Beis HaMikdash to make room for the third Beis HaMikdash. So the part of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is not really destruction. This is actually the preparation for the third Beis HaMikdash. While the Beis HaMikdash was burned down, we can't call this destruction. This is just the space to make space for the more beautiful Beis HaMikdash. Within the Beis HaMikdash lies already the goal and the purpose. You know, when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, what did Hashem say? Said, before they went to Egypt, Hashem says to Abraham, to Abram Avinu, Abram our father, He says, you know, your children will be slaves in Egypt. But guess what? Later on, they'll go out with a great fortune. Meaning that during the time that they're in exile, they're accumulating the fortune. the exile, while it's bitter, and while we don't see it, but in essence, there is a great fortune that is taking place. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is the readying, is the preparation, it's the doing of the third Beis HaMikdash during our bitter exile that we're in. We are building these big fortunes of the third Beis HaMikdash, so that this is not really a destruction in its inner. So while we see destruction in front of our eyes, but we need to get the courage and to know that we are actually, by doing mitzvahs now, we are actually preparing the ground. This is all preparing the ground for the third beautiful eternal Beis HaMikdash. It's not just destruction, it's building. Rebbe brings down an interesting discussion over here. You know, a lot of times, you know, the Rebbe was, we want Mashiach now, we want, always asking Mashiach. But not only that, there was a whole big discussion, you know. There were people that would say, oh, Mashiach is going to come this year. It's not just a prayer. They figured out, and they said that Mashiach is going to come at a certain time. You know, it's questionable, really. It seems questionable. And some of the greatest rabbis, they call it a ketz. A ketz means an end. They predicted when the end will be, when Mashiach is going to come. And they put a date to it. The Talmud, as well as the Rambam, is very unhappy about people saying when the end is going to be, when Mashiach is going to come. And the reason is because if you say a certain date that this is when Mashiach is going to come, and then he doesn't come, then people will not believe anymore, and the people's belief and trust will be shattered, and their adherence to the other things may be shaken. So the Rambam says, and the Talmud says, we cannot predict an end, a ketz, when it's going to be. But on the other hand, we do have the Rambam himself, Rav Sadia Goen, the Alter Rebbe. They have predicted beforehand. Of course they weren't in violation of this law. The purpose of these great rabbis for giving and predicting a ketz was just the contrary, the opposite. When the people and the generations saw that their faith was shaking, they were wavering, their commitment, their belief, they found it necessary to actually give people something to hold on to, something to look forward to. It's not a false thing. Can you imagine if you're a spiritual, holy person and you see things beyond the surface? Most of us just see things the way they're happening. We see in our eyes. We don't know what's hidden underneath, what's behind the curtain, so to say. But a great tzaddik, a righteous person who has very clear vision, x-ray vision, he can see through the material, the facade, all the covers. He sees how the Jews, throughout their being in exile, they're adding to that great fortune. They see how much we've accomplished while we were in exile, despite of all of the challenges and despite all of the difficulties. The Yidden, the Jews, are still holding on. And they see and they realize that there is a tremendous opportunity now for Mashiach to come, because they see the fortune has reached a level which the opportunity is there. And they want the people to work harder and to do more and to be able to achieve, to actually bring into fruition. So that that vision that they see, the end that they envision, that it should actually happen. It needs more work. When the Rebbe kept on saying, Mashiach is coming, he's behind the door, he's almost here, we want Mashiach now, the Rebbe saw, the Rebbe could not hide it from us, the truth. The Rebbe saw the truth. And he shared with us the truth. He shared with us the truth that the time now is just about, there is so much merit, there is so much rechush gadol, there is so much good fortune, that we should be ready. And if we just do a little bit more, and if we just anticipate more, and if we cry out more, then this is the time. The Rebbe shared this in order to give people something to hold on. It's a very long, bitter galus, a bitter exile. To go ahead and stay strong. And he had to share it because he saw it. That was the truth. Well, we may not see it, but he saw it. And this is the Shabbos, in the portion of the Devarim, we read the Shabbos Chazon. Chazon means the vision. It talks about the vision of Isaiah, Yeshayahu ben Amoz. He saw the destruction of Jerusalem. And the prophet ends with the words, Tzion b'mishpat tipode v'shoveh b'tzdoka. Tzion will be redeemed with justice, and the captives will be returned with chariot, good deeds. While he saw the destruction, but he also saw the redemption within the destruction. There's a very interesting saying of the holy tzaddik Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, who always found good things to say about the Jewish people. He said, Shabbos Chazon is the Shabbos that every Jew has the opportunity to have a vision and see the third Beis HaMikdash. We can actually see the third Beis HaMikdash. Instead of the simple meaning, seeing the destruction, he says we see the Beis HaMikdash, we see the sanctuary. And he gives it with a parable. He said there was once a father who tailored for his son a beautiful suit, and he gave him the suit to wear. But the child was mischievous, negligent, and before you know it, he got it muddy, he got it dirty, he ripped it, it was gone. Father said, you know, took away the suit, and said to him, you know, until you learn how to keep it clean, gave him a second chance and another suit, and the same thing happened. This time the father said, no, I'm not giving it to you, put it into the closet. And he says, until you learn how to keep it clean, you'll be responsible, you'll do things the right thing, then I'll give it to you. I'm not going to give it to you. The same thing the Berdichever says, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, about the Beis HaMikdash. God gave us the first Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, we did we didn't know how to keep it. We didn't keep it clean. We didn't do the right things. Hashem says, I take it away from you. And then he gave us the second chance. He gave us the second Beis HaMikdash. We didn't keep it clean. He took it away from us. But now, every Shabbos Chazon before Tisha B'Av, God shows us, takes us to the closet, shows us that beautiful suit. God takes us and shows us, gives us a vision. I say, look, the third Beis HaMikdash is there. Look how beautiful. You almost have it. Just a little bit more. If you just do that extra piece, you know what, that you will get it. And that will be yours for eternity. And that's the same with the Beis HaMikdash. We just got to do that little bit more in order to earn and to get to that level. And the other, just briefly, the other talk, the Rebbe also discusses, we know the importance of unity, and we know that the destruction of the temple was because of lack of unity. There was senseless hatred. There was not, people were not friendly to each other. And the Rebbe brings out that sometimes the hardship of conquering even nations is if they're friendly amongst themselves, unity, even of non-Jews. Like it is written, how come the flood destroyed all the evil people at that time? But then later on when it came to the Dor HaFlog and later, they were spared. So our sages tell us because during the generation of the flood, people were fighting each other. It says they were corrupt, they were stealing, they didn't get along. Because it didn't get along, they were destroyed by the flood. But later on, they were together. Togetherness, even by the evil, gives them some merit. But the real togetherness exists by us, by Yidden, by the Jewish people. Unity that we have, that protects all of us. The Rebbe talks about the person who has to go into exile, the cities of refuge, to be free. That's talking about when somebody killed somebody accidentally, he has to go into the city of refuge so that the redeemer of blood, the relative of the one that was killed, should not come and kill him. So he goes in the city of refuge. What happens in the city of refuge, he becomes part of that unity. The Rebbe explains that's the meaning of v'hikresim, the meaning of kiryah. But that's a whole nother discussion, but I want to finish up. The Rebbe just says, if we are together, that unity protects us from the Redeemer of the blood, which means we also have the Yetzer Hara. First he convinces us, he pushes us to do what's wrong. But then he comes to Hashem and he criticizes us. He says, look, and these people failed. But you're the one that convinced them. But no, he complains that they failed. And then he's there to take the Redeemer of the blood and punish them. If we can stand together, we can stand in unity, then we'll be protected. If we can have avas chinam, senseless love, then we'll be protected to care about somebody who we never met, who we never know. And of course, those people we do know. Sometimes they're always looking people to love outside. Well, in your own home, your own spouse, your own children, your own community, you don't have to go look for love elsewhere, you know. Don't push it away too far. Just make it, bring it home. This is also today the situation. Our hearts are always, we're worried for Israel. and we are paying all of the anti-Semitism and all the negative reports, and it's I don't want to say it's scary, but there's just so much negativity and there's so much against. The way for us to stand strong, to overcome, and to beat all these evil that is out there in the world is by being together. If we're together, by united, and you know, we don't have the ability to do big things in Israel. We're here. What could we do? But we could have unity amongst ourselves in our own little places to add to the general unity. And when we are together, then nobody can actually beat us. And we have these days that we're mourning actually turned to days of holidays and festivals that will be even bigger than the regular festivals. You know, we celebrate Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos, but the 3 weeks, Shavuos B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, when they get turned over around and they become, like we said before, when the lion, Hashem, who's called the lion, in the month of Leo, the month of Av, we're now, goes and builds Leo, he builds the lion, he builds the Beis HaMikdash, and let's hope this will happen very soon in our days with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu.